Chronologically, 2 Samuel actually ends with chapter 20. David's rebellious boy, you know him, Absalom, is dead. His coup d'etat has been thwarted. David now is back on the throne. And there is more to come in the story of David, his succession and his death. But that's subject matter for 1 Kings. The last four chapters of 2 Samuel form an appendix to the book that provides a few flashbacks that sort of fill in the former record. 2 Samuel 21 begins, "Now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, 'It is because Saul and his bloodthirsty house, because he killed the Gibeonites.'" David recognizes that sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, physical disasters, calamities, do have spiritual causes. We can't jump to that conclusion every time something bad happens, but it does occur. There is that correlation from time to time. And David senses that this is the case at this moment. And so he asks God about the famine. "Lord, what's the cause?" And he's told by God that it's the result of Saul's injustice to the Gibeonites. Here's what had happened. When Joshua led Israel into Canaan, he made a covenant with this tribe of Gibeon, the Gibeonites. Saul, though, had ignored Joshua's covenant and had tried to wipe them out. You see, God takes promises seriously, and because Saul didn't, Israel was suffering a 3-year famine. It was David's duty to rectify Saul's greedy mistake. Here are 4 lessons to be learned from this story. You might jot these down. First of all, God takes promises seriously. He expects us to keep our promises, especially the ones we made to our spouse. Second, God isn't just serious about individual promises. He cares about promises that have been made by nations. This is the case here with Israel. Third, time does not diminish a person's obligation to keep his or her promise. There is no statute of limitations on a promise made. And then fourth, God's correction may come at a time long after the original infraction. Don't think you've gotten away with not keeping your promise. God may come back and remind you. Well, the story continues. So the king called the Gibeonites and he spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. The children of Israel had sworn protection to them, but Saul had sought to kill them in his zeal for the children of Israel and Judah. Therefore David said to the Gibeonites, "What shall I do for you, and with what shall I make atonement, that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord?" In other words, we've mistreated you. How can I make this thing right? We want to eat. We're tired of the famine. And the Gibeonites said to him, "We will have no silver or gold from Saul or from his house, nor shall you kill any man in Israel for us." So he said, "Whatever you say, I will do for you." Then they answered the king, "As for the man who consumed us and plotted against us, that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the territories of Israel, let 7 men of his descendants be delivered to us, and we will hang them before the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord chose." Now this phrase, "to hang them before the Lord," implies that this hanging was with the Lord's approval. This was no arbitrary execution. The king says, "I will give them," and evidently David picked out 7 men that were deserving of the punishment. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. You remember, David had made a promise to be kind to Jonathan's offspring. And so the king took Armoni and Mephibosheth, and this is another Mephibosheth, just like there are probably a couple of Michaels here tonight in ancient Israel. They were going to any group and there'd be a couple of Mephibosheths. The two sons, he took the Mephibosheth, and the two sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, whom she bore to Saul, and the five sons of Michael, the daughter of Saul. These five sons were sired by Michael's first husband, but would have been David's stepchildren. Okay. Whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillel, the Maholathite, and he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them on the hill before the Lord. Boy, David gave over his stepsons to be hung. His five stepsons. Must have had a hard time with the blended family. You really hope David didn't have something in turning his stepsons over to the Gibeonites, but David did do some things like that. And so they fell, all seven together, and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of barley harvest, or in the spring of the year. Verse 10, now Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, took sackcloth and spread it out for herself on the rock. From the beginning of harvest until the late rains poured on them from heaven. Now the coming of the late rains indicated that the famine was over. Retribution had been made. Justice had been served. Now good weather, rain, and crops, and fruitfulness was restored in the land of Israel. Rizpah, the mother of the two who had been executed, held a vigil. And it had to have lasted for at least several weeks from the time all this happened to the time that the rains came. During that time, her sons, the body of her sons, remained unburied and exposed. And of course, this brought further shame on Israel. This was the Gibeonites' way to show that the crimes committed against them by Saul had finally been vindicated. And for the whole time, these bodies lay out in the elements, exposed. Rizpah did not allow the birds of the air, the vultures, to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. And David was told what Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, the concubine of Saul, had done. He admired her vigilance. It was a show of respect toward Saul's dynasty. Hey, Saul had been chosen by God to be king. Certainly, he and his family need to be given some dignity, even in the face of their disaster and their sin. And David started thinking in his mind, okay, Rizpah is out here honoring, you know, the two descendants of Saul by shooing off the vultures and you know, showing some respect to these corpses. Certainly, I should be showing some respect to Saul and to his lineage. David starts thinking. Saul was king. Saul was God's anointed. Certainly, he deserves some respect. Then David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from the men of Jabesh-Gilead, who had stolen them from the street of Beth-shan, where the Philistines had hung them up after the Philistines had struck down Saul in Gilboa. I got a picture of Beth-shan. There's the streets in Beth-shan. We always visit Beth-shan when we go to Israel. Here are the men of Jabesh-Gilead. They rescued Saul's body. You remember the